It's very rare that I work with someone on external goals or health goals or business goals. To me, that's not my area of expertise, but going through an inner transformation is a place that I feel very strongly that I have power in.
Welcome to the Expanded Podcast with your host, Lacey Phillips. As a leading manifestation advisor with a process that's, well, radically different from the old New Age model, mine is rooted in psychology, neuroscience, and my energetic gifts. Therefore, I created this podcast to help you expand your subconscious limiting beliefs about the potential of deserving the manifestations you're calling in. In each episode, we'll walk through my expanders, a term in my manifestation formula signaling the people that we admire that already embody, have, or are successful in what we are looking to call in. These are the people that we witness through our mirror neurons on a subconscious level that expand us into knowing that our manifestations are possible as well, especially when we hear about their background, their upbringing, their trials and tribulations, and any of their pitfalls that they had to experience along the way. Therefore, you're tuning into this podcast series to show your subconscious that anything you desire is possible. And by pressing play, you've already started the process of manifesting it. And if you enjoy this episode, please leave us a review, comment, and share it with your fellow manifestor that's struggling or could really benefit from the information that you're about to learn. Welcome back to the Expanded Podcast. And per usual, I'm going to kick this off with a short and perfectly sweet My Magnetic Story, which is where the community shares what they're manifesting. Feeling anxious to post this because there's still a part of me that wonders what's the catch. Also feeling some shadow about working in hospitality. I'm a bartender and I've been looking for my next job to help me expand my financial stability and regain confidence that I lost last year while I was under earning. I'm happy to report that next week I start a job that fits my entire list. I've never felt so warm and welcomed in a space. There are also other potential opportunities within this group that fit in with some of the long-term visions. And to be transparent, I've been half-assing this work, which makes me wonder how powerful I could be if I really dove fully in. She's talking about the pathway work. So keep saying no, the real thing is on its way. I love when you, all of you that are sharing My Magnetic Stories, and of course, feel free to share yours anytime, hashtag My Magnetic Stories, or in the Facebook group. That's where we pull these from. I love that each of you keep advising people, don't settle. Pass those tests, because it's such an important part of this process. Yes, you can manifest other things in. When you don't pass those tests, you'll get what that test is, and you'll learn all your lessons in that and run into the fire, and then you'll go through the process again and manifest the greater, bigger thing you've always wanted. None of it's the right or wrong way. But if you really want that big thing that you're calling in, go through the formula and magnetism workshop inside the pathway, which starts at $24.99 a month. And make sure when you get into the test zone of it, don't settle. So I love that. Keep saying no until the real thing is on its way. So today's trigger I want to talk about actually totally segues from that. Basically, I had one of my clients of many years reach out, and she's really, really versed in becoming expert in this formula, especially around partnerships. And she had a great little test when she was here in LA. She's finally opened up and she's calling in her next partnership. And I get a voice note yesterday that's telling me all about this person she started dating, and he's her entire list to a T, entire list. He's wonderful. She's taking it slow. She's following all the partnership rules inside Unblock Partnership. But all of a sudden, even though they expressed to each other that they are both looking for, you know, the real shebang, he said he may not be fully ready, but he keeps reaching out and wants to take it slow, that old take it slow model. And as she was telling me about it, I very quickly picked up on the fact that he wanted his cake and to eat it too. So he was going to hold out and sleep with her and then, of course, be like, I'm not ready for any of this. And she was going to develop feelings by that point. And so when I sent my voice note back to her, I was like, ooh, this is exciting. You're close to your magic, Dark, because boy, this is that perfect example of the shiny carrot test. The perfect example. And this is applicable to anything. If it's a job, if it's an apartment you're calling in and, you know, name it, a car, whatever, this is perfect. They are everything on your list. Everything. So it's very hard to turn it down, but there's an aspect about them that isn't the right fit. And in most cases, when it's relationships, they're emotionally unavailable. Not being ready is emotionally unavailable. And so I gave her the advice. I was like, just be straight with them. Say, look, you're totally not ready. That's fine. Give me a call when you are. I'm around. I'm popping around and doing my thing. You know, be the person that when he is ready, he'll always have been wondering about. Or run into the fire and do the same thing you've done many times and be the person he gets to explore all of his needs getting met while he's not available or ready. And then you kind of get your heart broken in 6 weeks, however you want to play it. But she did follow the advice. She passed it. So now I just want to touch on this. She's going into a very, very big magic dark. Most likely right now it's going to either be a tiny other little test just to make sure with her. She did pass it. You know, obviously she followed the rules and let him go, even though it was so hard. Or she's going to pop right into the magic dark, which will be crickets. She's going to wonder like, whoa, I was having tests. What's going on? What's wrong with me? But because she knows this so well, she's going to most likely manifest her partner within the next, I would say, 3 months. And it'll be everything on her list. So I want to highlight that as a trigger for anybody who's sitting out there that might be in that place. And we had a great post on this recently inside Instagram, which is, and always pop to Instagram because we put so much of this content to teach you guys how to do this stuff. And it's called How to Know If You're in the Magic Dark. Number one, you've passed some really big and hard to pass up tests. Number two, you can believably feel what you want is so close that it's baffling it's not here yet. Number three, everybody else thinks you're nuts and most any other rational person would have thrown in the towel by now, but something inside of you deep down knows you're close. Four, everything seems grim, quiet, and paused on the outside, but you've never felt more in your worth and aligned on the inside. Five, you've had to talk yourself out of giving up a few times within the last 2 weeks or month. And six, it's almost astonishing that you're hearing crickets after feeling like you were on such a roll with tests. So that's a really good indicator that you're in the magic dark. We get a ton of people in the Facebook group being like, I think I'm in the magic dark. I'm not hearing anything. And it's like, nah, if you're not going through basically that whole story I just suggested, regardless of what you're manifesting and those bullet points I just went through, you're probably not in the magic dark. You're needing to do more work and pass the test. So hold tight, you're worth it, whatever you're manifesting, and don't settle. Like the My Magnetic Story, don't settle. Today's guest, Alexandra Roxo, is phenomenal. I love her. This is such a great guest, especially for you guys that are entrepreneurs, that have been through deep rock bottoms, that you're getting in touch with healing trauma, sexual trauma, getting in touch with your sexuality. And I just love her. You know, she's half Brazilian, half American. She was an artist and actor. She was doing great as a director and writer and then pivoted into healing, which is now going amazing. And she's just so transparent about what she's been through and what are her shadows. And she gives some great tips in here. So I think everybody should kick back and check this out. You will enjoy and be expanded by it. Welcome back to the Expanded Podcast. We're here with Alexandra Roxo, who I always let my guests really tell us what you're about because you're multifaceted. You're like working in the feminine space. You're working in the coaching. You're an artist. So I want you to actually tell us what you encompass right
yes,
now.
Yes, thank you. So as I was just saying before, I'm a Gemini rising and I am one of those people who has worn many hats and I still do. I don't like boxes. And so having to put myself in one or two or even three boxes always just
intense.
Feels limiting to my full expression. Nowadays, I make most of my money writing and doing coaching and mentorship work. And the way that I do coaching work, it's not in like a life coach way. Mm-hmm. It's more in a spiritual mentor way.
Great.
So I work with people on the internal journey. It's very rare that I work with someone on external goals or health goals or business goals. To me, that's not my area of expertise, mm-hmm. but going through an inner transformation is a place that I feel very strongly that I have power in.
And what can really lead to those?
Exactly. Exactly. Starts from the inside. So I work with mainly women, though I have had a few male clients, one-on-one or in groups at retreats and in online programs to help them find their power, their voice, go through a healing and transformational journey. I also right now give a lot of my magic, my light, my passion to the world with writing. So I'm writing a book. It's my first book.
Congrats.
Thank you. And I write every day on Instagram. I write for Moon Club, which is my online mentorship group community. I write a ton for them, rituals and advice and help to work through their spiritual processes. So when I think about what I do most days, it's writing.
Wow.
And then working with people. So for you guys who like astrology, my North Node is in Gemini also. So it's
great.
Like my karmic destiny is around communication. And
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I'm going to take you back to the question we kick everybody off with is, what's your cultural background and upbringing?
Great question. So I am born to an immigrant father from Brazil and an American mother, who are 16 years apart.
Wow.
My dad came to the US from Brazil with no money and a belt that my grandma had sewn some diamonds into. And he came up through Panama. And by the time he got to the United States, like, it was all broken and he basically had nothing. And I actually made a film. So my previous life is as an actor and a filmmaker. Mm-hmm. And I made a short film for a festival. I was chosen as one of five filmmakers to make like a film for the festival. And I made a film called Welcome in Portuguese, Bem-vindo. Mm-hmm. That was about my dad's first week in the United States because he was hungry. He didn't eat for several days. He didn't have a place to stay.
Wow.
Yeah. And everything changed because I'm getting emotional talking about it, but he had one prized possession that he brought, which was a suit. It was a nice suit. Like, that was it.
And he was able to keep that the whole way.
Well, he did. Yeah. It was in his bag.
Yeah.
But he ended up like this Cuban guy. They were sharing a room at a motel and my dad was crying in the middle of the night. And the guy was like, why are you crying? And he's like, well, I haven't eaten in 4 days. And the guy gave him $20, which at the time was a lot. This was in 1969. My dad was born in 1941. And my dad gave him the suit.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And it's just like, I mean, my dad has been through so many interesting stories. Like, he worked at a car wash and he didn't come with a coat to like boss. So from Miami, where he arrived,
yeah,
he took a job to drive a car to Boston and he didn't know where Boston was, like a rental car, like,
yeah,
to take it back. So he's driving around in this cute car in Miami, just like with all the ladies.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he's a very attractive, like 19-year-old Brazilian kid. And all of a sudden, he's like, I got to drive this car to Boston. And they're like, that's like a 2-day drive or whatever, you mm-hmm. know? So he's like, shit. So he drives the car. He accidentally drives it into New York City, into Manhattan.
Whoa.
And he looks at these police officers and he's like, I'm trying to get to Boston. And they just laugh at him. They're just like, what? Anyway, he gets to Boston. He gets a job at a car wash. He doesn't have a coat. So he like uses a rug. Like, it's just like the stories my dad has are epic.
Wow. What's his sign?
He's a Taurus. Both of my parents are Taurus and my Chiron is in Taurus.
Wow.
Yeah. And then he also was like a room service guy at a hotel where he met his girlfriend that then went to Harvard and all the old women would request him. Anyway, he is like a mine, a well of stories and a character. Like,
wow.
A huge character.
Are they still together, your
no,
parents?
No, they okay. divorced when I was 5.
Okay.
Yeah, he is a passionate Latin man who has been the most difficult karmic lesson that I could have ever took on for this human. Mm-hmm. Not for someone else's story, but my story. And it's taken me a good long, long time to work through some of the lessons with him. But we're good now. Like we're at a really good place.
And do you have other siblings?
No, I'm only child.
And he has never had any, and your mom? And
no, they've both been married like 6 times between them.
Wow, these Taurans. This is so, what else do they have going on in
there? I mean, they love sex. They love love. They love food. They love chocolate.
They're
love alcohol.
Such Taurans, yeah.
Like when my dad eats chocolate, he goes, this is orgasmic. Every fucking time. And he's like 77. I'm still like, oh, Poppy, what am I going to do with you?
Wow. And so you are his only child. That's amazing.
Can you imagine a Pisces, Gemini rising?
Yeah.
Sensitive.
What's your moon?
Aquarius moon.
Oh, gosh. Wow.
I was just like, who am I, an alien like in this family?
Oh, yeah. Wow. So then what was it? Did you primarily grow up with your mom?
I did. I was primarily with my mom in Georgia. Yeah, my mom's a single mom. She worked like 5 jobs at a time to get us by. But she introduced me to my spiritual path very young. Mm-hmm. My first spiritual teacher that she took me to when I was 12, who's an intuitive, really taught me so much over like 20 years of my life.
Mm.
So that was super epic. Yeah. And then I had this like super Christian Georgia vibe going on, like
that undertone.
I was in the suburbs, and like there was definitely a whole moment to get through that, to be a bright, kind of empowered young woman who was a little bit of a black sheep because my parents are divorced, and my mom's like Doreen Virtue, Louise Hay, you know, and like so that was definitely, growing up in Georgia was challenging at times, but it's made me who I am.
And what about getting out here to act? How did that look? Or was it New York first?
New York. Yeah. And it was like I applied to go to several different acting conservatories, and I got into NYU, and my mom was just like,
who's going to pay for that?
Who's going to pay for this, honey? Like, there's no way. It's $40,000 a year. She's like, I make only $30 a year.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
what the hell? And I remember being at my drama class after school, or we were rehearsing for a musical. And I was like, I'm going to find a way to go to New York. Because I had gone to New York on a school field trip when I was 14 with the drama club.
Mm-hmm.
And I made my way to Greenwich Village. And I was like,
this is the best thing I've ever seen. Yeah.
There was just something. I was like, oh my God, my destiny is here.
I had that too when I was young. Yeah, totally.
And it was just like, so I made it happen, which was a miracle. And I started working when I was 12. So, you know, I had a strong work ethic. Mm-hmm. So I had this kind of thing, like I was like, I can do anything.
Totally.
So I got a $20,000 scholarship. And then I got loans.
To Tisch.
Yeah, to Tisch.
Wow. Amazing. Good for you. That was literally my dream. I started working at the same age. Very similar story, but never made it to Tisch. Oh. I'm really proud of you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, me too. I mean, I just paid off the loans last year.
God, congratulations.
I know.
That's expanding for anybody listening in general.
Oh my God.
You'll be 35 next month, you said.
And I was partially not paying them off because I was pissed at my dad for not paying for my college because
resentful.
He has the money and he has like multiple houses and this and that. And then his way of getting back at my mom for taking me to Georgia from Miami was to withhold money.
Mm.
So I knew he was pissed about me having these loans and he was obsessive about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just keep not paying. I would pay like, you know, a little bit. And then he'd call me, he'd be like, Tuca, when are you going to pay the loans? They're like building up. I'm very worried about this,
aww,
you know? And I'd be like, I don't know, Poppy. Like, I'm making an art project right now. I'm making super 8mm films with my friends naked in the woods.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, oh my gosh. Wow.
So when I did pay them off last year, he was very, very happy. And it was by an act of like gorgeous, gorgeous fate, magic. So I was still directing up until last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I was awarded a commercial directing job for United Airlines, which is the company he worked for 40 years.
Wow. So what was he doing for United?
A flight attendant.
He was.
Mm-hmm.
Man, they really settle out really well in the end, huh?
Yeah.
My friends.
Well, he's doing a lot on the side.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's so Brazilian. He's like, I'm hustling this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Good
yeah,
for him.
Yeah. I mean, there's, again, a lot.
Wow. Good, good.
We won't talk about it all here. Not that he would even listen, but yeah.
And so that's amazing. So you were able to fully with that big chunk finally.
Yeah. And it was just so funny that I was like, wow, the person that gave me this money story in my personal history that was the most challenging for me, that created so much pain and suffering for me around money, that he worked for United. And then that I'm getting this job for United, that I'm getting paid $8,000 to $10,000 a day.
Shows you've done the work.
And I was,
it's incredible.
And it was the day that I got that job was the day that I gave up cooking for this rich yogi in Santa Monica.
Wow, good job.
I gave up the job cooking for the rich yoga guy.
Does everybody hear that?
And
that's
listen,
what creates magnetism.
Listen, literally, I said it to my friends. We were in Palm Springs in hot tub. I said, I'm giving up that job. I got out of the hot tub. I look at my phone. You've been awarded the United job.
Amazing.
It was within moments, yeah. Like seconds.
So everybody's listening to that right now, right?
I haven't mastered that with love. But I did do it with money. I did it with a book deal. I did it with getting into the New York Times. Like I've done it with so many other
amazing
things in my life.
That's incredible. Oh, incredible.
Yeah. Paid off those loans, put money in savings, and closed the chapter around money struggles. Like I think I did that one this life. We're good.
Love and money are so connected too. I bet love's really close behind.
It's close.
But that's it. That's your journey, right? To master it because you're working with people.
Yeah.
So you have to go through all the struggles.
I know, yeah.
What has been your biggest rock bottom? Like on the floor crying, this is the worst, the bottom.
You know, I'm an emotional, slightly dramatic at times person. So I definitely have like a little book of those. But the one that was the most difficult was so I spent my 20s being an artist, a filmmaker, director. I had a TV pilot that I directed. I co-directed with someone. And we were waiting to see if it was going to go to series. And we had run out of money. And the person that I was collaborating with wasn't in a place to worry about money. Mm-hmm. But I was in a dark place. And I had been sort of just like on the edge for months. And I had great agents. And I was getting meetings with like important people in Hollywood. And yet I was just like, I don't have any money left. And I was like, am I going to have to go back to like waitressing? I've been on a TV show. I've just directed a TV pilot. I have like great agents. I've been featured in all these magazines. Like, am I going to have to go back to waitressing or something? And I was just so sad. At the same time, like a person that I was dating here in LA that I had was really excited about creating a life with. Like, I saw this life. We had this vision of what we were going to have together. And he and I broke up. And I found out that I didn't get the TV. The pilot didn't go to series. And in that moment, as sort of privileged problems as that mm-hmm. sounds, it was like I had nothing. I had, my career had come to like a, not an end, but like a definite juncture. Oh, and my agents also said we're done after the show didn't go to series.
Yeah.
So I was like, I have no money. My agents just let go of me. And this person that like was my friend for 5 years and we started dating and we're like trying to consider building a life together. We just broke up.
Would you say this was the biggest ego, rock bottom of your life? Like it had to snap you out of everything you valued as important outside
yes.
of you.
And then I did 3 nights of ayahuasca. It wasn't the first time that I've done a lot of medicine work, but I heard the message that was like, girl, you're standing in front of a stage of all these people talking about, oh, you know, I meditate, I do ayahuasca, like but acting so cool about it. Mm-hmm. Like you think you're so cool. But you're not, and you're not in integrity. And mm-hmm. that was ego. And you got on the track of ego, like that I'm directing this TV show, da 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 da. So the message I heard in that ceremony was like, you're going to help other women and you have to dedicate your life to being of service. And so that was this 2019. That was, I think, 2 or 3 Februaries ago. And I've done it. I fucking
amazing.
Did it in those 2 years. I think it was 2 years ago. I created a business, like 2 businesses that are working really well.
Yeah.
And I did it. Now I'm like, all right, mom, I'm ready for the next assignment.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. But that was definitely a rough moment.
Oh, I love those. Yeah. It changed your whole... Was your Pluto going over your moon? Because the same thing happened to me at 25 and that
oh,
Pluto
really?
Was going over my moon.
Man, mine was... This was at, I guess, 31.
Mm.
I don't know where it was. Yeah. I was just like, this is the longest Saturn's return ever.
No, yeah. Man, when that happened, it was like everything you think is important in your life that's ego is going to get fucking ripped out from under you.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Which is awesome. It changed course to what I do now. So same with you. It's amazing.
Exactly. And I listened. And I think that's the key thing is I listened. And there were some months where like, and I stopped drinking at that time for a while. I stopped like, I just cleaned really quiet. It was like I went into a quiet zone.
Yeah.
I didn't have really a social life during that. And I was here in LA and I just went into like a hibernation phase. And it was like back to basics, eating, sleeping, you know, gentle working out.
Mm-hmm.
And then I slowly let myself rebuild.
That's what they say too when you're awakening.
Mm-hmm.
It's like fasting.
Yeah.
Like not hanging out. It's the biggest. You're leaving the little crab shell to the big one.
I know.
So I'm so proud of you.
You're
That's
naked.
Amazing.
You're like naked.
Like, what is the worst? The ground? I don't know. I have to stay on the ground.
I know.
So that's amazing.
Yeah.
What about the biggest heartbreak of all time? Which could be parental. It could be anything.
Yeah. I mean, they kind of all, there's like three that kind of are from the same wound. So when my father, when I like moved away from my father when I was five, because my mom wanted to be close to her brother because she needed someone. I think that's when I experienced the first feeling of true loss, not having him. And when I went through a breakup at the beginning of my Saturn's return, an intuitive said, like the pain you're feeling isn't about this breakup.
Mm-hmm.
It's the pain that still needs to be healed from your dad.
Yeah.
And at that time, I couldn't do it. I was like 27.
Yeah.
I just drank and I didn't eat and it was just not cute. But then this past year, I met someone and, the end of 2017. And it was like on the first meeting that there was like a soul recognition, which I hesitate to even say that because, you know, what the hell does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
But basically, we had this beautiful dinner and tears just started streaming down my cheeks. It was very embarrassing at Plant Food and Wine in Venice.
I feel like not too out of the ordinary.
It's not. That's why I don't even want to say it. It feels
like
cliche.
You're like in a raw food restaurant or a vegan restaurant. Yeah, you guys are barefoot.
We're eye-gazing at a vegan restaurant in Venice.
Drinking kombucha.
I know. But he didn't fit the bill though for a typical Venice guy. He was like super sexy, head to toe, comme de garçon, Danish.
Oh, wow.
6'4", Scorpio, wearing all black. Oh yeah,
jeez,
honey. This is why this one makes it into the top.
Yeah.
And we just had so much in common. We had this like deep spiritual understanding, but we both had like this kind of darker, more complex sexual side. We're both intellectual hipsters, but also like could quote the Bhagavad Gita. And I was like, I fucking just hit the jackpot.
You're like, I see my mirror.
Yeah. And he was my mirror and we were both doing some really deep healing together. And so that brought that the remnants of the rest of my dad heartbreak to the surface.
It's like, gotta do it all now.
And it was the most uncomfortable off and on. I mean, it was the most blissful ever. And then once it was just like, he's going through divorce, his child lives in Denmark, he's moving back. It was just really complicated. Everything came to the surface. And it was like I could pinpoint in my energy field exactly where there was something. And the way that I describe it is like I felt like I was like pulling out a shard of glass.
Yeah, that's been stuck in there
forever.
Yeah.
And it was a 9-month process. And it didn't really culminate until this October because there was just still this kind of like thing. And we had this phone call. I was in Italy on this retreat. And we had this hour-long phone call and it was just like a completion. But then there was like a little, we both felt the power of the connection again. And so there was like a few texts exchange. And then I think we were both just like, whoa, no, we can't.
Mm-hmm.
Because the power between us is so strong. So then it's been like the whole chapter is fully closed. And that was only, you know, a few months ago that fully closed.
Yeah.
But that, my heart now doesn't, I don't feel that sense of heaviness in the back of it.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
What a gift he was, such medicine.
Yeah. And I mean, I know we'll see each other in like the astral realms and high five and be like, fuck yeah, we did it. Thank you so much.
Next soul. We'll see you next soul round.
Yeah.
Next, you know, incarnation. That's great.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Amazing. And then for you, what you're doing now, what was what expanded you into knowing it was possible?
Mm.
I mean, the many hats you're wearing.
Yeah. I have this weird thing about myself, which is that I'm not afraid to take risks. Like every time I directed a low budget independent film and I just did it mm-hmm. and I just raised the money and it just happened. And then I raised another almost $1 million for another movie and I just did it. Mm-hmm. And it was like everything I've done, it's just happened. I've just done it. And I don't have a lot of fear mm-hmm. when it comes to sharing myself, sharing my work, or doing something like on behalf of the whole, like mm-hmm. that I think would be of service in a way. But it's also of service to me, you know, because part of it is just like my self-expression. Mm-hmm. And so when I made the decision that I'm going to do work as a coach or the healer, I just told a few people, I'm going to take on 2 trial clients.
It's the way to do it too.
Yeah.
Test out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one of them was this beautiful, epic woman, Lulu Brud. I don't know if you know.
I do. That's when I first discovered you.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. Well, I just saw like your red hair came up on our feed and I was like, oh, who's that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know Lulu.
It's so magical that you know, she was like, yeah, I'm willing to like take a risk on you too. Mm. And so she was one of my first clients and I just was like, oh, this is what I meant to do. And I really let something greater than me show me how I do my work. Mm. And that's a weird thing.
Oh, it's a full surrender.
Yeah, because it's like, I was like, should I get a certification? Should I train in someone else's method? And I was just like, no. But I have enough belief in myself and I'm willing to take a risk in honor of my expansion and the expansion of others around me. Mm-hmm. So I'm always willing to look dumb. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I was laughing with the woman who works with me. She's like my business manager. I was like, do you know that every day we risk looking dumb at least like 10 times a day?
Mm-hmm. That's the best. I mean, boy, on the edge of magnetism with that.
You know, it's just like some of the shit I post, I'm like, who are you? Mm-hmm. But I'm like, this is me. But I just don't care, mm-hmm. I guess. And so anyway, that's part of my karmic path. That's like, yes, awesome that I got that.
Oh, you're so lucky. So many people struggle with that alone.
I know. And I work with them and I'm like, let's do this. Baby steps. We got this. But so having those first few clients and then lining up with people, and I know this is a part of your work, because it's funny because people DM me and they're like, you're an expander for me.
Oh, isn't that amazing when you get that? At first, you're probably, what the fuck are they talking about? Yeah.
I got it. But I found myself around some expanders. So my friend Ruby Warrington.
Oh yeah, Ruby. She's coming tomorrow.
Yeah. So she was a huge expander for me. She just like believed in my voice as a writer. She introduced me to so many amazing people. So many of my friends now are from her. My friend Gala Darling, I met through some other friends as well. And just seeing the women around me, specifically women, be themselves
and
get
beautiful.
Paid for it. I was like, what the fuck? They're mm-hmm. just doing them.
No hustling.
Yeah. I mean, well, you work hard.
Have to hustle to be something.
Exactly. So I think that having the belief in myself, knowing that I'm serving like a higher good, and I don't mean that in like a cheesy, like, oh, I'm helping for God. This is God's work. No, I don't mean it like that. But I mean, serving the evolution of something, mm-hmm. of whether it's consciousness, humankind, healing, but my work is in service of something that's not just
selfish.
Me. Yeah, exactly. So I'm willing to risk looking dumb or failing if it's on behalf of something bigger than me.
Amazing.
I'm not going to just wear like some sort of an outfit out in the world, just taking a risk and looking dumb for my, I won't do that.
Yeah.
Like that you won't see me mm-hmm. be that person. But if it's like standing up in front of people and sharing my story because it might help them, I will share all of it, you know?
Amazing. So. It's true healer. That's incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. So those are the things I think that allowed me to expand the most, you know, really just believing in myself, being willing to take risks on behalf of the benefit of all mankind, humankind. And then also lining up with other people that are expansive and that mm-hmm. believe that everything is possible and that we can do what we want to do. I think if I didn't have those people around, it probably would have been more difficult.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, and take longer and
yeah,
all of that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm quickly interrupting this episode that I hope you're finding very expanding to tell you about a special offer that you won't find anywhere else but here. So with the code JOURNEY, that's capital J-O-U-R-N-E-Y, simply put that in order to receive your first month off free for the pathway or 10% off any of the a la carte. And once you're in the pathway, there's a suggestion of exactly what you should follow, starting with a formula and magnetism workshop, moving into reparent and shadow, and then you'll move through if you're calling in a career opulence, you'll move through partnership if you're calling that in, and of course, everybody should be doing the daily reprogramming exercise. The beautiful thing about the pathway as well is that you will have access to the Facebook group, which is the like-minded community you've probably been manifesting, and it gives you access to all of the Unblock villages that are meeting up around the world, so you'll be able to find one in hopefully your neighborhood, and you get full access to my class, which is twice a month called Supported, where you can write in any question you're having about your manifestation process or manifestation in order to have me answer your question. Enjoy the rest of this episode.
What's your biggest inner child belief that you've had to get through, the limiting rut block? That held you back?
That I'm too much.
Yeah. Pisces get that a lot, which especially with the Gemini rising. Mm. So that's beautiful that you've worked through that.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that I'm mastered it, but it's definitely in a place that feels good. Like there were many years where I tried to dumb myself down or quiet myself and like had struggled.
Be less emotional.
Yeah. I drank to cover emotions. I didn't eat as much, you know, and like I did all of that was because I thought it was too much. It wasn't that I was controlling my eating because I was like, people will only love me if I'm skinny,
yeah,
which is fine.
Yeah.
But it was just like, I'm too much in general and this is going to control my too muchness.
Yeah.
And so I was obsessive, you know, about my eating for many, many years from like preteen until like age 30, actually.
We talk on here a lot about intuitive eating and most of us have been orthorexia, all that kind of stuff. What have been your tips and treasures that have helped with that?
So to be honest, and this isn't the only solution, but I feel like I had this moment in a plant medicine ceremony, in an ayahuasca ceremony, the same one, the same ceremony that I really saw this ego stuff, where I saw myself and I saw the pain that I had inflicted on myself and it just clicked. Something clicked that was just like, oh, fuck. Like, I love this girl. Like, she's great. She's doing so well. And I have to forgive myself for the pain I inflicted on her and now move on. And there was this whole forgiveness meditation that happened that night. And I forgave myself for hurting myself by not eating certain things and counting calories and working out too much and in the ways that I would control. And I think once I saw myself in that light, which is hard to exactly pinpoint, but when I could step outside of the pattern and see myself a bit objectively from a witness standpoint, it was almost as if I was holding myself in my own arms and saying, oh, baby girl, I love you. Wow, I'm so sorry that I didn't feed you when you were hungry. I'm so sorry that like I made you work out extra when you were tired. Because you deserve love, and you deserve to be fed, and you deserve to be held, you deserve to rest. And it was like once I saw her as such a treasure, then I was able to step out of that pattern and then to forgive, you know, forgive myself.
Such a huge part of that process.
Yeah. And I mean, I used to never be able to eat like a cookie or something without feeling guilty. And the healing that I've had, like, it doesn't come up anymore. Like
yeah.
It's gone. And I'm like, well, shit, if that's gone, I know that it's possible with any other thing that
totally.
I have in my life.
Would you say too that you're the happiest with your body you've ever been?
I mean, I'm happiest with myself and I think I can't isolate that separately. I did just go to India for a month and eat straight carbs. So.
Wow, yeah. You're like, shit.
I ate like every
Dosas
meal.
Every morning.
Every meal, yeah. Like naan and rice and potatoes because there was nothing else. And actually a vegan diet is not always the best for me. And it was a month of veganism. So I'm like, I'm juicier than usual.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, it's great. Probably, full carbs, carbs every meal.
Great.
But the thing is that I just know that my body's resilient and that since my worth is no longer tied into that.
That's the biggest part.
And the food that I was eating in India didn't make me feel bad. It was just like I wasn't exercising a ton and I was eating all that. So it's, you know.
Yeah, I'm the same.
Yeah, it's an ebb and flow. But I really don't put my value or my worth or my lovability factor on my body anymore. And if I'm around people that I see that happening, I do get a little triggered because I'm just like, nope, we don't do that.
Yeah.
And I still don't, when I go to the doctor and they weigh me, I don't want to know
the
number.
I'm the same.
And I just I'm willing to protect myself from being triggered into that. And it's not that I'm afraid, mm-hmm. but I just know that I don't want to be caused
pain. Boundaries.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that. Yeah, it's a healthy boundary so that you don't get into that cycle again.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's get into working in the divine feminine in the sexual space, because that's something that you work in as mm-hmm. well. Let's hear about your philosophy around that and methodology and all of that beautiful stuff.
Yeah. So I think something that we saw come through all of the Me Too conversations in the past few years was that there is a shadow of sexual assault, repression, trauma in our collective, right? And it was like we didn't want to maybe admit it, or maybe there wasn't space for that in the conversations because of the way our society is set up, because of the way we're conditioned and programmed. Something amazing was that those stories came to the surface and that we were able to, at least the people that wanted to look at it, to see, hey, wow, most people have gone through some sort of sexual assault. Most people. That's crazy. Now, I'm not saying that as a generalization statistically, but when you ask people, if you're in a room full of women, and I do a lot of retreats where I have a room full of women, and if I ask, most people raise their hand. Mm-hmm. Yet, there is no clear way to process this.
This is the big problem.
Yeah. Unless you go to therapy. Therapy is only for a certain amount of
population
that can afford that. And that also that works for.
That responds to talk therapy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Talk therapy didn't really work for me.
Neither.
I could outsmart every therapist.
Same. Yeah. It was awful.
Bless them.
And then I was like, God, I know more now. What's wrong with me? What do I do?
Exactly.
It's like the actionable. Yeah.
Yeah. And both of my parents are childhood sexual abuse survivors. Mm. So I grew up with people that, bless them, I love them, but we're both stuck in trauma and depression. And I saw, wow, unprocessed trauma, especially sexual, has crazy repercussions.
Crazy.
And dealing with them, you know, my mom did start to go to therapy really young and she, you know, found all the healing modalities and Reiki and became all that stuff. But with my father, I really saw, wow, unprocessed sexual trauma. The way that he was hateful to me, mean, the way he didn't have sexual boundaries. Mm-hmm. Like there was so much that I was like, oh my God, like imagine so many people are walking around like this.
Yeah.
They don't know how to heal their shit. So they're basically projecting it onto others.
And run by it.
And run by it. It's like, I say this to my clients, like who's running the ship today?
Yeah.
You know, is that childhood wound driving the ship? Because that's probably not the cruise I want to be on.
Yeah, same. Yeah. So, and we all mostly on autopilot are.
I know. Yeah. And that's why I'm like, give me the hard drugs, the medicines. No. It's not for everybody. But so because I grew up in that environment, I really saw those things and I felt passionate around helping others. I didn't want to go traditional route, like just go to become a trauma therapist or specialist or something like that. I'm way too sort of experimental and outside the
eccentric.
Box. Yeah, it wouldn't work for me. But what I did start to pay attention to was the modalities that had really worked for me. I also have been through sexual assaults. Nothing compared to I think what my parents went through. Not that you can compare, the body processes. It's
and we're
the
all
same.
So unique as well.
Exactly.
What, you know, the level of trauma does to us.
Exactly. And I kind of knew I was was going to have at this life as I was young and I saw that my parents had had sexual trauma, I was like, oh, I'm probably going to have sexual trauma. Mm-hmm. Like I just had this knowing, but I didn't quite know how it was going to happen. But because I did my own healing work and I felt like I was doing my healing also for my ancestral lineage, for my parents, I was like, oh, I can help others with this. And it's a non-traditional way of doing things. I don't advertise, hey, like come to me for sexual trauma. I'm not a trauma specialist, but I do have practices, rituals, and different alternative ways of healing that I find to be artistic, fun,
expressive,
beautiful, expressive. And so last year I brought a group of women in to do 6 months of work with me. And you didn't have to be some like a survivor to do that. However, I do attract a lot of women that have had a lot of sexual trauma. Yeah. But this group was amazing. And it was diverse, not just that. But we did a retreat that was with Japanese rope bondage and shibari, like suspensions.
Wow.
Yeah. And that was with a practitioner who I often collaborate with. And we also did storytelling. And it's very ritualistic and shamanic the way that it all happened. And so it was like, it's the feeling that you're essentially maybe one of the closest ways of being like similar to being in the womb, because you are tied so tight. You can't move and you're held so deeply.
You're like swaddled.
Yeah, exactly. It feels amazing. I mean, I love it.
So cozy.
I love it. Yeah. Not everybody loves it. Not for everyone. And then I did take them to a place where a female practitioner led an ayahuasca ceremony for them.
Wow. And you guys were in Japan?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No.
You're just using Japanese practices
the
here.
The shibari was in San Francisco at the
amazing.
Studio.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
And then we did the ayahuasca at a different place. And that was important for everyone as well for this group. And then we did another month where we did a retreat with snakes. So there's a practitioner here in LA who uses snakes in this very, again, shamanic healing way.
Wow.
And they wrap around you. And I've seen women walk into that space who are like the type of person I would be like, I can't see this woman like becoming a snake priestess right now.
Yeah.
Like, who is she?
Yeah.
And then the snake will come onto the woman and then she's just sobbing immediately and just like turns into this like
serpent
goddess. And
wow.
I'm just like, what? But you're wearing head to toe Lululemon.
Yeah. Wow.
So I don't judge anymore. So we did that 1 month and then we did another month where I had a male teacher that I work with do this very like partner intimacy work. Morgan came.
Oh, I'm so happy.
Did a tea ceremony for us.
Beautiful.
On our opening weekend.
We're talking about Morgan Francis is what she's on, but what's her last name?
Morgan DeMarcus is her name, but Morgan
it,
Francesca
it.
On
Francesca.
On
at
Instagram.
Morgan / Francesca.
Yeah,
I think
so.
That's
yeah.
it.
She's an amazing, she does tea ceremony. And
she's so beautiful.
So she did our opening ritual. So anyway, that was 6 months of very non-traditional healing modalities, which some people wouldn't even consider healing modalities. Mm-hmm. Like Japanese rope bondage, you maybe wouldn't consider that. But the way we collaborated, it made it just gorgeous and really healing. And we did a lot of work in between and storytelling and sharing. And those women have all... they're all rising as leaders.
Wow.
And healers. And I'm just like floored. Three of them last week on the same day were like, I think I'm ready to lead circle.
Amazing.
And I was like, okay, this is why I did that.
Amazing.
So it inspires me and makes me so happy to help women step out of the state where you feel triggered, you feel in trauma still, and to come into another state of being. And it's not overnight. And I can't guarantee, like, I'm not going to say I can fix people, but
yeah.
I have sat and worked through so many practices, and I know what happens when you get into a triggered state and how paralyzing it can be. And you can spend days, if not weeks, in those states of being where your mind becomes so small that even if everything around you is so beautiful, you just don't have access to it.
Yeah.
And so I work with people to help them to gain access in that way. And it's not an overnight thing, you know? So it takes a lot of courage.
It really does. Yeah. And amazing that you're lending this really authentic, sacred space.
Mm.
And what is the book about? that you're writing right now?
So similar things. The original title that I pitched was How to Heal Your Shit and Fuck Like a Goddess.
Amazing.
And then they were like, we want it to be called just Fuck Like a Goddess. And I was like, all right, I'm expanding. That one hurts a little bit, but yeah, I'm going to expand into it. So it's going to be called Fuck Like a Goddess, A Radical Guide to Healing Your Reclaiming Your Mind, Body, and Spirit. The subheader we're still working on. It is a book about reclaiming. Mm-hmm. It is a book about looking at the things that are holding you back. And then I share a lot of practices and rituals. And it's also like having me as your teacher and coach. So it's like a pep talk in a book as well. Yeah. You know, I realized I was like, I can write something that has a ton of my stories and all this stuff, which are super fun and wild and wacky. Or I can give like a program essentially in a book where you have me in your head saying, you can do this. Yeah. It's not your fucking fault.
Yeah.
Like, and so I decided to do that and to make it so it's like literally like you have me as a mentor. You read the book. I'm your mentor. I'm guiding you through a process of feeling like you can reclaim yourself, your pleasure, your power, your passion. So there's little stories of mine interwoven into every part, mm-hmm. but it's mainly just something that's going to help empower to step outside of these tough stories and traumas.
Amazing.
Yeah,
that's incredible. And when approximately is that supposed to hit the shelves?
January 2020.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So a year away, we'll wait.
Yes. Great. Yes, yes, yes.
Wow. And what else do you work on within what you're doing right now? What else are you up to? Because you're so multifaceted.
Yeah. So I lead retreats and I often lead them with Ruby Warrington. Mm-hmm. We also co-created a group called Moon Club, which is a spiritual mentorship community. So if you are a person that's like, I don't know where to start. I don't know how to start a practice. We use the cycle of the moon as a way to to mimic our own growth mm-hmm. and our own cyclical nature.
Totally.
And so we have different practices and meditations throughout the month. So, and a sense of community. So as you are doing awakening and healing work, that you don't feel isolated.
Absolutely.
So that is something that I do. And that is managed by our amazing queen of operations, Sabrina. And I lead retreats and I write. And I'm really on my journey of self-discovery. And I'm so curious still about what this whole world is about. Mm-hmm. So this year, I'm taking some time to go to the places that have had the traditions, modalities, or teachers that have most impacted me. Mm-hmm. So I just got back from India and Nepal because I started practicing yoga and meditation when I was 19. And I really... I was like, I want to go to this land and thank it from my heart and then ask it how I can help. Mm-hmm. So I'm working on that, on a project to do some work in Nepal, actually, because I really loved Nepal. It was really, really
I wonder what your lines are through that.
Oh my God. Well, I went and meditated in these caves and it was like something I never experienced. Like, it was wild.
Wow.
Yeah, it was one of some, I can't speak. I'm just like, think about it and I'm speechless. Yeah, it was insane, beautiful. Step outside of reality.
Oh yeah, amazing. You
know, hoisted into a tiny cave in the middle of like the Nepalese jungle where
incredible.
Like you sit in the cave and your heart starts beating and not from panic. So I did have some moments of that, but there was just like these upgrades to the system. And even not in a cave, like I went and sat at a temple and it was like my body started convulsing.
Vibrating just at a higher level. Yeah,
just freaking weird and beautiful. So I'm going to see Ram Dass this year, go to his retreat.
Great, in Hawaii.
Yeah. Aww. Never been to Hawaii. And then I'm going to go to Peru because I have done all this medicine work in the past 7 years, but I've never been to Peru. Mm. So I feel like there are these completions for my...
It does seem like you're making these full circles.
Yeah. So I'm super excited about that. And I'm going to be filming and videoing a lot of that. Since my background as a filmmaker, I did a lot of documentary work with Vice. And I'm reclaiming a bit of that spirit now that my business is feeling really good.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take a camera into the jungle with me. And I'm going to share my own experiences going through what will be very transformational moments, I'm sure, you know, doing 5 ceremonies in Peru and sitting with Ram Dass, whose work really impacted me.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm really excited about that stuff. That's just feeling Like, I love adventure. I love travel. Mm-hmm. And then I love doing my work. You know, it's pretty simple.
Incredible. And then in the meantime, you're going to decide where to live.
I am. Yeah, because I've had this beautiful bi-coastal relationship between New York and LA for many years now. And I love them both. Yet, I'm feeling ready to plant some roots.
Yeah.
So I told, there's this really sweet intuitive who I was on her podcast named Natalie Miles. And she said,
I love Natalie.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. She was like, spirit's telling me that you're going to know where to plant your roots by May. And I was like, I had just told my mom that morning, wow. I'm going to decide around May.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Her reading for me was really, really on point.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Yeah. So yeah, that'll be really cool. And then I'll have had this travels for the beginning of the year and then kind of have a moment of hunkering down and making my goddess temple.
Good job.
I mean, like this morning I was like, ooh, my dressing room, what's it going to look like? And I was like, my friend Gal and I send each other like these voice notes where we talk about all our dreams. And I was like, oh my God, my outdoor bathtub is amazing. Which I've been dreaming about for like the past 5 years is like this outdoor bathtub.
You're going to love the space up in Yosemite. Oh. We have a full like clawfoot outdoor and all the things. It's going to be, but yeah, it sounds like
I love that.
Your jive.
I love that.
That's
yeah.
amazing. Wow. And what was your biggest shadow aspect you've had to integrate that was the hardest and holding you back in your life?
You know, I still work with it. We friends. Actually, one of the practices that I do, that's a Tibetan Buddhist practice, which I do some Tibetan Buddhist practices, is based off a practice called the Chud practice, which is where you feed your body to demons. Now, I know that sounds heavy. But there's this teacher who I studied with in Italy at the Mandalay Retreat Center last year, and I'm going to her center in Colorado in April. And she does a practice called feeding your demons. So she has adapted that for a Western audience that involves some psychology and some like Jungian work mm-hmm. with this Tibetan Buddhist practice. And when I got that book and I started doing this practice, I was just floored. So I'm going to go learn from her because mm-hmm. I can't do it with my clients unless I'm certified. I hate certifications and stuff.
But, I know, me too. I'm like a rebel.
I am too. Yeah. But she's epic. She's 77.
Yeah. Oh,
she's like
amazing.
Gorgeous, red lipstick, long white hair, but wow. a Tibetan Buddhist Lama.
Oh my God. Gosh.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Incredible.
So I'm like, I just
what
be-
an expander.
Yeah, she's had three husbands, four kids, and runs this gorgeous retreat center in Colorado. I'm like, yes, yes.
Sign me up.
Yeah. So, but this practice, feeding your demons, is essentially sitting with your shadow and imagining it as this personified force outside of you.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I've talked about this before, it's not private, but so my shadow is Lana Del Roxo,
mm-hmm.
and she just is super seductive and has her big eyes and can literally, you know, seduce most people in the room if she wants.
Mm-hmm.
And she either wants that attention or she totally goes into hiding
mm-hmm.
and becomes really avoidant. So I've been working with her for several years now.
Amazing.
And it's when she comes out, I'm like, oh, hey, girl.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, all right, so that happened. And it's just a part of me. And I see it in my parents too. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, like they both like to be in relationships always. And I was in relationships back to back long term from age 21 to 31.
Oh, wow.
With like literally no breaks and like a waiting list. Not in an egotistical way,
yeah,
but
yeah.
like I had some always waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that I really saw my dad do. And I'm not a Latin man.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But after that last big breakup that I was saying, the one where I had kind of moved here for, I was like, I think I'm going to need to be single for a little bit and like sit, like really work on some
Ooh,
things.
Amazing.
And I was like, ugh.
I know.
So I have dated a lot of people in the last few years, but I've really been working on this shadow. So some of the people that have come into my life in the dating sphere have really been people that either like greatly trigger that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess in some way.
Everyone. And everything does.
And yeah. I just had like a grand finale. I feel like I'm really graduated this curriculum around that, around somebody and learning. So in the Tibetan Buddhist practice, this also, the shadow is like craving,
mm-hmm.
right? Craving. So seduction, craving. And then the empowered wisdom is the wisdom of discernment.
Yeah.
So I realized, oh shit, like all I have to do is just be more discerning.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to fix myself. I don't have to change myself. I don't have to stop liking love and like close my heart down.
Totally.
I just have to be more discerning. And as a Pisces, as an empathic person, as someone who just like loves to meet people, that's been difficult for me.
Oh, so magnetic though that you're walking through all of this.
It is. It's exciting. So, you know, I just said no. While I was in India, I was like, going back to New York. I'm saying no to these two men who I love.
Yes.
But aren't the thing. And
yay.
They're both huge. They're huge. They're like, and they were both expanders for me. One of them, like, I never had so much fun with a lover.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we were in Berlin laughing and dancing and totally sober on the dance floor at these clubs in Berlin, having so much fun, like crying. Like, it's just epic.
Yeah.
But it was a no.
Yeah.
And I was like,
yay.
It was so close. So close.
But you're not settling.
Yay. And it was hard, you know? It was like, I went back and forth because he was like, no.
Yeah.
No. And I had to block him, which sucks. But he's a passionate Latin man and he wasn't listening to my boundary. And so anyway, I dealt with these two big cuts. I was like, I am not going to let my shadow get the best of me and settle for breadcrumbs right
great,
now.
Good
Even
job.
If they're sexy breadcrumbs and they're spiritual and whatever. They like own big houses
yeah, yeah.
or like
all
whatever.
The shiny things.
All the shiny things.
Yeah.
I'm saying no. So that felt really good. So now I'm like, okay. And it's funny when that shadow comes up, like someone texted me the other day. Again, people just coming out of the woodwork. Two lovers came out of the woodwork. One texted me and I heard his voice and it was like, hi, beautiful girl. How are you? Immediately, I texted my friend Gala. I was like, oh my God, what if he's changed? What if we can get back to you?
No, good job, Gala. It's probably like,
Gala sent me an emoji of like a monster with like googly eyes. And she was like, your love monster just came out, girl. And I was like, oh. And immediately, it went.
Fantastic.
And in the past, I would have like, tried to, you know, have a deeper moment with that person, but it went. So I'm saying no.
You're getting close.
Left and right.
Man. You're getting close. You're passing those tests. That's awesome.
Oh, they're also sexy.
That's how they come.
I know.
Real shiny. Well, that's amazing. And then where can we see you out in the world or come visit you at a retreat and
yeah.
all that stuff?
So I have a workshop in Seattle at Bali Yoga on March 2nd and 3rd with Sophie and Adi Jaffe, which is going to be for couples all around love, finding rituals to strengthen your ways of connecting and bringing intentionality into your relationship, communication, which are all the things that I bring. And then Sophie and Adi bring this like
amazing
background of their relationship. So it's a really fun collaboration. And then in May, I'm guiding a retreat with Ruby Warrington at 1440 Multiversity, which is in Santa Cruz. It's gorgeous.
Awesome.
There's an infinity pool, redwood trees. And that one is, it's around Mother's Day. And it's called Manifesting the Matriarchy with Mama Moon.
Wow. So you're going to do it on the full moon there?
I don't know if it's the full moon, but it's with Mama Moon. Like we'll talk about moon,
great.
Moon sign astrology and moon yeah. practices. And yeah, and then I have a retreat in the summer. But the best place to find me is on Instagram. I love doing stories. I love sharing my stories. I'm very open with the way that I talk about my life because it's fun for me and it feels good for me.
And you're serving.
Yeah. So follow me on Instagram at Alexandra Roxo. And on my website, I have some guided practices that you can do on Moon Club if you want to have a container and a program that offers you monthly rituals and ways to connect with other people. That's there for you as well. So,
and you have an online course as well, right?
I have an online course called How to Embody Your Feminine Fire, which is, it's really simple. Two guided practices and two videos. And it really helps people with emotional processing and with kind of peeling off layers of stagnant energy around your heart. And it's the responses that I get with people on Instagram, like they send me pictures all the time and they're just like, this is insane. Because guess what? We don't have a lot of places in our life to be wild and expressed and to cry and to scream. And I guide you there.
Amazing.
And I make you feel, I think, safe and held in that process. So it's really important, I think, whether you're doing that by yourself, but to give yourself space to be free, to be wild, to be messy, to be raw. And that course, that does that. So it's less of a course, more of a guided practice, more of an invitation into your juicy rawness.
Amazing.
Please come on board. We're all waiting for you with open arms.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us today. We're so grateful.
Thank you for having me.
I'm stoked that, Ruby's going to be here tomorrow too.
Yes.
What's Ruby's sun sign?
She's an Aries.
Perfect. My favorite.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. We get along really well. Our stuff is in the right spots.
Amazing. Yeah. Because that Pisces Aries. Woo. But yeah, all the other good.
Yeah.
All the other good stuff.
She has a Cancer moon though.
Oh, wow.
And my Aquarius moon. Like, it's good.
Yeah. It's a good, you guys, you're matching up. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And I can't wait to keep tracking your journey.
Yeah.
Have a good weekend, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.